You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Coming up, where politics and the Me Too movement collide, and 5 for 5 with Steph Curtis. But first, how to understand why President Trump fired Jeff Sessions when he did. Even as President Trump was deflecting questions at his press conference yesterday about Jeff Sessions' future, Sessions' resignation letter had been submitted and Sessions was out. We're turning now to Randall Eliason for some insight on what happens next. He's law professor at George Washington School of Law, and he joins us from Washington. And Randall, welcome. It's good to have you back on the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And if you have questions about what happens with the Russia investigation or what happens in Congress as a result of this, we'll tackle them. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828 on Twitter at CarrieNPR. Randall, I just want to note, and this is not the legal part of this, but Jeff Sessions was a very early and enthusiastic supporter of the president's. When did that change? When did the president's gratefulness, I guess, gratitude for his loyalty change?
Well, it seems to have been at the point when Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation. It was pretty clear that Trump was very upset about that. He thought that Sessions should stay in place, and it appears he thought that Sessions sort of stayed in place to try to protect him. So as soon as Sessions recused himself, which led to Rod Rosenstein taking over, which then led to the appointment of the special counsel, then he seemed to fall out of Trump's favor.
And just to understand this, Jeff Sessions recused himself because he was getting advice that ethically he should recuse himself. Do you see that he had much choice in making that decision?
No. I think and I think pretty much everybody that's looked at that thinks that he basically had no choice. He was not only part of the president. I mean, he's part of the president's campaign, and the president's campaign was under investigation.
Right.
And there was a chance that he would be personally under investigation as well. So he really didn't have a choice.
There are questions now about what happens with the Russia investigation. Would you run through a couple of the options? What could happen next with that?
Well, so the new acting attorney general, Matt Whitaker, is now going to be supervising the Mueller investigation. It had been Rosenstein because of Sessions being recused. So it appears now that that investigation will be supervised by Whitaker, and I think we're in kind of a wait-and-see posture. There's obviously a lot of concern that Whitaker might take some steps to try to shut down the Mueller investigation or limit it somehow. I mean, that hasn't happened yet. There would be a lot of political fallout and blowback from, I think, any efforts to do that. But he could theoretically fire Mueller, although he has to show cause for that and provide the reason to Congress. He could refuse to grant permission to Mueller to do certain investigative things like return particular indictments. But again, he has to explain to Congress why he's doing that. And now that Congress is going to be, at least the House, in Democratic hands, he's, you know, there's going to be a much less sympathetic audience on Capitol Hill. So I think he has the power to do things to hamper Mueller's investigation, but it wouldn't be easy. And I think we sort of at this point should be waiting to see what, if anything, actually happens.
Isn't there legislation pending in Congress? I think it's been heard before a number of committees that would protect Mueller's investigation.
There was some legislation, at least in the Senate. I know that that had been at least passed out of committee. And I don't think there was ever anything in the House. But even without that legislation, under the special counsel regulations, he can't just be fired. Mueller can't just be fired without reason. The attorney general would have to provide a reason to Congress and show that it was for some kind of misconduct or dereliction of duty or other, you know, gross violation of DOJ policies. So there are, even without the legislation, some limitations on his ability to just get rid of Mueller.
So would Robert Mueller now have to check in, I guess, with Matt Whitaker on the direction that the investigation is going and the reasons that he's pursuing certain people in the investigation? I mean, in some ways, does Whitaker become the not just the overseer of the investigation in that he could end it or let it continue, but is he also going to be instrumental in the direction that the investigation goes?
Well, to some extent. I mean, the special counsel regulations do give Mueller a lot of independence. I mean, sort of the point of having a special counsel, right? Because the idea is that the Department of Justice itself might be sort of too close to the investigation. So he has a lot of autonomy. But he's not subject to sort of day-to-day supervision by the Attorney General. But the Attorney General does have the power to ask Mueller to come in, sort of brief him, and I'm sure that will happen, explain to him what's going on. And he does have the authority to refuse to allow Mueller to take certain investigative steps if he thinks they violate department policy, things like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about, is if Mueller's in the office with Whitaker and Mueller says, I really feel that it's necessary to pursue this, Whitaker could say something like, I don't see that that's going to be a fruitful line of inquiry. You should be focusing on this.
Again, those conversations can take place. Again, I mean, if Whitaker actually forbids Mueller from doing something that Mueller thinks should be done, then again, he's going to have to explain that to Congress. So there can be that push and pull there. But I mean, again, the special counsel regulations do give Mueller at least some autonomy.
President Trump
was... The other thing that's coming up...
Go right ahead. I want to hear what you wanted to say.
I was just going to mention recusal as well. There's a fair amount of talk around D.C. right now that Whitaker might have to recuse himself as well, just like Sessions did. And it could be that we end up back with Rod Rosenstein supervising the investigation again. But because Whitaker has made some public statements about the investigation and has relationships with some of the people who might be implicated in the investigation, there's a chance he could end up recusing himself as well. So we just don't know yet.
Yeah, he was talking about it, actually, in issuing his opinion on CNN. Is there anything wrong on the face of it with him, you know, giving his opinion when asked on CNN, when at the time he wasn't overseeing the investigation?
No, I mean, there's nothing wrong with giving the opinion. Like you said, he was a private citizen then, right? And sort of working as a commentator. Now he's going to be taking on a very different role. And there is a strong DOJ tradition of, you know, putting aside any sort of personal political views you might have when you're doing criminal investigations. So nothing wrong with giving the opinions at the time, but they can then raise a question about, is there even a perception of conflict of interest or lack of impartiality now in his new role? And if they determine that's the case, or that he's too close to some of the people potentially under investigation, then the ethics officials at the Department of Justice could advise him, as they advised Jeff Sessions, that he actually needs to recuse himself as well.
Rachel says on Twitter, I keep hearing that would be politically dangerous when it comes to Trump's controversial moves, yet Trump doesn't seem to care. His base doesn't seem to care. He walks around like he's bulletproof. Mark asks, if the head of justice at the completion of the investigation, whoever that is, rejects the recommendations made by Mueller, would the acting head have to make a report to Congress explaining that decision? Would it be enough to just say nothing to see here?
Well, the department regulations governing the special counsel do provide that if the attorney general rejects something that Mueller proposes doing, then he has to explain to Congress why. And it has to be something that it has to be, you know, some kind of violation of DOJ policy or otherwise inappropriate. So he couldn't simply deny it and cover it up completely. He would have to provide some kind of explanation to Congress. I think a big thing we have to keep in mind is, you know, the landscape has dramatically shifted since the election.
Yeah.
Now that the Democrats are going to be taking control of the House. If this was all a plot or a maneuver to try to get rid of Mueller, it actually would have been a lot smarter to do this about a year ago when the House was still controlled by Republicans who probably would have had a lot less interest in oversight and trying to figure out, you know, what was really going on. They don't have that compliant Congress anymore as of January. And if there are steps taken to thwart Mueller's investigation or fire him, I think the first thing that happens in January 20 or 21 when the new Congress is sworn in, is the hearings begin into why exactly this happens. So they're in a different atmosphere now, and I think it's much more difficult. It would be much more difficult to, you know, try to sort of thwart the investigation than it would have been in the past.
I want to fact check something with you that the president said in his post-election press conference yesterday when he was asked about Sessions. At the time, at the moment, as I noted in the introduction, he didn't want to talk about it. But he said this about the investigation.
I could have ended it any time I wanted. I didn't. And there was no collusion. There was no anything. I didn't. They went after hackers in Moscow. I don't know about that. They went after people with tax problems from years ago. They went after people with loans and other things. Had nothing to do with my campaign. This is a investigation where many, many millions of dollars has been spent, and there's no collusion. It was supposed to be on collusion. There's no collusion.
Okay, a couple things there. Is he right when he says I could have ended it at any time?
Well, theoretically, I mean, he's the head of the Department of Justice, so yeah, theoretically, he could fire everybody and pardon everybody and try to shut it down. But again, there's a presumably huge political consequences of that, including possibly impeachment, right? So he may have the power to do that, but not without consequence. And it would certainly violate every norm that we have about the independence of the Department of Justice. So he theoretically has that power, but politically, it's not really something he could ever do and hope to survive, I don't think.
And when you hear that suggestion that originally this started to seek out evidence of collusion or not, the president's now suggesting that it's gone far afield. Is he right about that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it was not only collusion, but also Russian interference with the election. And so it's Russian interference and any possible involvement by members of the Trump campaign. So we've already seen significant indictments of Russians attempting to interfere with the election through social media and through hacking into the Democratic computers and things like that. And that investigation is still ongoing. The sort of outstanding remaining question is, were members of the campaign involved with the Russians doing that? So that's been the central focus, and that's still where the investigation is going. And then along the way, there have been, I think he was referring probably to the Paul Manafort investigation, you know, right, additional crimes that the special counsel uncovers. He's also charged with prosecuting those when they come up. And as Manafort was President Trump's campaign manager, that was also directly related to the central issue because he was potentially aware of any contacts with the Russians. So, no, I don't think it's a fair criticism of the Mueller investigation at all.
Randall Eliason is a law professor at George Washington School of Law, joining us from D.C. Randall, thank you again, as always, for the insight.
My pleasure.
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Carrie at KERRI NPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.